In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please be seated. We're given an incredible image this morning, this image of the Ascension that comes to us both at the end of Luke's Gospel and the beginning of his Acts of the Apostles, a transition point between the story of the life and ministry of Jesus and the story of the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit through the birth of the church. And as we enter into, if you think about this image this morning, I want to invite you to first close your eyes and imagine that you are there. Imagine first that you are among the many onlookers and witnesses to Jesus and his incredible life and ministry here on earth, where he was healing the sick, liberating captives, raising the lame, even raising the dead. And you, like many, started to get hopeful that maybe he was the long-promised Messiah, only to have your hopes seemingly dashed as he was arrested, beaten, crucified, with a mocking crown of thorns and a sarcastic sign above his head, King of the Jews. Perhaps you, like many, turned your back on Jesus and Jerusalem and started to head home, shows over, nothing to see here, only to begin to hear the whispers and rumors that he is not dead, that he is risen, that he has been resurrected and is appearing to many all throughout Jerusalem and beyond, continuing to perform works and miracles, not just as a ghost, but in the flesh, bearing the marks of the crucifixion and the testimony that he was who he said he was, he is who he said he is, the Son of God. And then gathers many onlookers in Jerusalem and says, explains, this is how it had to happen according to Moses and the prophets, that the Son of Man must suffer for the redemption of many, but now to wait here in Jerusalem until you receive the promised gift to come. And it is at that moment that he leads you and many out to Bethany and, in the words of Scripture, begins to withdraw from us and ascend into heaven. You can open your eyes. What an incredible moment. And perhaps my mind is a little fevered at this point, but I imagine a little bit of a Monty Python scene here as Jesus ascends further and further into heaven, and you and me and other onlookers are left there just mouths agape, wondering what it is we are witnessing now in this latest twist and turn in the story of Jesus, looking, but trying not to look at the sun because your mom told you you'd go blind if you did that, trying to look, wondering what happens next. Is now the moment he will come back as he promised? What do we do when, squinting, we are there for an awkward amount of time and start to look to our right and left and wondering, how long are we going to be looking, when two messengers appear and say to us, what y'all looking at? Get to it. Because I don't know if you know, but the messengers of God have Southern accents. I love this story so much. And even if you don't see the humor in it like My Fevered Mind does, I think there are three things that this image of the Ascension has for us today. As we transition out of this prayer preaching series to our series on the Spirit in the summer to come. First of all, this image of the Ascension reveals the sovereignty of God. Second, the Spirit of God. And third, the service of God that we are called to. Sovereignty, Spirit, and service. Let me say something about each of these in turn. First, the sovereignty of God. Note that this ascension is predicated by this question that the followers of Jesus ask. Lord, is this the time that you will restore the kingdom of Israel? Note that many were following Jesus because they had the hopes in his political ascendancy that he would overthrow the Roman Empire and reestablish the kingdom of justice and peace through Israel. And they're wondering if this now is the moment. And Jesus' answer to that question is to ascend to the right hand of the Father. I imagine this might not have been what many were expecting or maybe even looking for or wanting, but this is the answer of Jesus to that question. That Jesus, in the ascension, shows us the sovereignty of God, where he reigns victorious through his cross, through the empty tomb and ascension to the right hand of the Father over all of human history. This is an encouragement to us, an image given to us, especially in those moments where we might get discouraged or dispirited over the course of this world. When we're looking at the latest mass shooting event or the state of politics in our country or the state of our own lives and family, where we might get discouraged about all of the brokenness in this world, we are given this image of the ascendant Christ to remind us that Christ has overcome the world, that he reigns in sovereignty with the Father over human history. I like to liken this to the way that a basketball team, when it's up by 20 points with 2 minutes left, is just running out the clock. As I joked with a friend at the end of the game 5 with the Nuggets, you know things are bad when Vlatko Kanchar is sent into the game. You don't even have to know who he is, but you know what it's like to see the subs sent into the game when we're just running out the clock. That's what God calls us to know that the victory is secured in and through Christ. We are just called to run out the clock in the power and hope of God. Which leads to this second point, this concept of the Holy Spirit. Note Jesus's answer. In addition to this image of the ascension itself, Jesus says this: "It is not for you to know the times or the periods that the Father has set by his own authority, but you will receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you." Or as Luke it puts it in the gospel, "clothed with power from on high." Note, here's this transition point between Jesus's ascension to the right hand of the Father and the coming of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, as we will celebrate next week. I like to liken this to the way that a camera can shift its focus, like in the movies where you have two characters and the focus can shift from this person to that person, or if you have a phone with the portrait mode, how you can focus it in on one person and blur out the others, or switch to another person and blur out the rest. What's happening here in this ascension is a transition from the life and ministry of Jesus to the life and ministry of the Holy Spirit. Which is not to say that Jesus is gone. Jesus is with us to the end of the age, as he promised. Or whenever two or three are gathered together, I am there in their midst. Or this is my body, this is my blood. Jesus is always with us to the end of the age. But in this ascension, in the outpouring of the Holy Spirit at Pentecost, we see a shift of focus from the second person of the Trinity to the third, from Jesus to the Holy Spirit, and the birth of the Holy Spirit and the church and our calling to ministry in the power of the Holy Spirit. We'll be spending a little bit more time this summer talking about this person and work of the Holy Spirit. So as we continue to talk about these practices of whole life discipleship, from Sabbath to prayer to community to solitude and fasting and so on, we are not doing so just on our own accord, through our own works, but in the power of this promised Holy Spirit. So more on that in due course. But third, this image of the ascension teaches us about the service of God and the witness of God that we are called to. Note that Jesus says, "You will be my witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, Samaria, and to the ends of the earth." Back to that humorous point of this vision. I imagine we're all standing there, mouths agape, just looking up to the ascension, and the messengers come to us and say, "Hey, y'all, this isn't just so you can stand there, mouths agape, wondering what happens next. Do what Jesus told you to do. go back to Jerusalem, receive the gift promised, and then get to work as witnesses to the resurrected hope of Jesus Christ and the power of God's love. That's what we are called to in this ascension story, not just to look up to heaven and marvel and wonder at God, that's good, but to get to work bearing witness to the hope that is within us. Among all that is broken and discouraging and depressing about this world, broken, discouraging, and depressing about our lives, to be encouraged by this image of the ascension and to go out into the world and to share that hope with others. So may you this week and in the weeks to come firmly fix your gaze on the ascended Christ. May you be reminded about his sovereignty over all of human history and over your life. May you receive that promised gift of the Holy Spirit that comes to us in Pentecost through baptism. May you receive that Spirit, and may that Spirit prompt you to love and good deeds, to bearing witness to the resurrected hope that you have within you, in loving service to others. Fix your gaze on the ascension. Be encouraged and have hope. Amen.